Welcome to Eastern Sierra Now, hoping to get blown away today. It's April 11th, Monday, and I'm Jesse Steele. Well, this morning was one of the gnarlier windstorms I've ever been a part of. I woke up to a fence being blown over on my property that I had to fix, so that was fun, trying to hold a sail in place while I was trying to screw it back to back to itself. That was good times. And then I drove around Big Pine today and saw probably at least 25 trees or giant branches laying in the road on multiple different streets. I think the worst thing that I've seen so far was just sent to me by Aaron Renee, who was is a teacher in Owens Valley school, and she said that the power went down and the kids had to go home, and she sent me pictures of the devastation on the way home. And the biggest, saddest thing I saw, which we'd posted, is the giant oak tree that is in front of the Inyo County Courthouse blew over in this storm. So if you go to Eastern Sierra Now, you can see the picture. That's devastating, because that is beautiful and idyllic right there in the front, and that's sad. That's awful. Multiple cars and trucks were knocked over in the wind. I noticed in Bishop today there was a giant line of diesel trucks because they were not letting them go down 395. That was some crazy wind, I'll tell you that. So if anybody else has any pictures of any devastation or anything that they want to share, please send it to info@easternsierranow.com, and I will post that for you and take a look at it. That was crazy. Let's hope something like that doesn't happen again for a while. Yeesh. Well, what else do we got going on here? I'll just read you the whole weather report about that since we're just talking about it. So, the NOAA weather issued a high wind warning for the areas of Eastern Sierra Slopes, the Owens Valley, and the White Mountains. The warning will remain in effect until 3 p.m., so as of this time, it should have calmed down. It looks like it has outside. It's just breezy outside now. Gusts were 60 to 75 miles per hour, and travel will be hazardous on 395 for high-profile vehicles and is discouraged until a warning has passed. Though temperatures have been warm recently, this upcoming week daytime low temperatures are expected to dip below freezing with a low of 24 tonight and a low of 23 Tuesday night. However, by Wednesday night, low temperatures will be above freezing and daytime highs will be in the 60s and low 70s. These high wind warnings are in effect throughout almost all of southern and central California today, as well as most of Nevada. The higher altitude parts of the state are experiencing winter weather advisories. On Monday, Mono County will also be experiencing a high wind warning with gusts of around 30 to 40 miles per hour. This will be accompanied by some heavy snow, with a possible 7 to 11 inches falling in Mammoth Lakes Monday, and another 1 to 2 inches on Monday night. Low temperatures in Mammoth Lakes will be down in the single digits. I did get a snow report today and it said 5 to 9 inches fell in Mammoth, but it is, it's supposed to go through the night too. So tomorrow we'll report in on what's going on with that. But oh man, that's so sad seeing that tree. Yeah, go check it out. It's at Eastern Sierra Now. And, that's no good. So one thing that is good is, there's going to be a spring soiree at the Convict Lake Resort, and it is to benefit the Round Valley School. Victoria Farber looks like she's heading that up, and she does such a great job of putting on things for Round Valley School. I think she might single-handedly bankroll that entire organization. Good job. So, you're cordially invited to the Spring Soiree. Fine dining, dancing, and exciting auction items benefiting Round Valley School. It'll be on 5/20/2022 at 5 p.m. featuring DJ Fresh Tracks. Single ticket, $100. Table is $800 to $1,000. If you're interested in finding more about that, it's 760-793-8339 or vafarber@gmail.com. That seems like a pretty sweet event. And for any of you that have ever eaten at Convict Lake, you'll understand that's worth it. Death Valley National Park seeks input on the Mormon Peak right-of-way. Death Valley National Park seeks public input on a right-of-way permit application for continued operation and maintenance of an existing microwave relay facility on Mormon Peak. Without this communications relay facility, there would be no landline or cell phone connection in the park. It wouldn't be so bad, right? Due to Death Valley National Park's remote location, there are no phone lines or fiber cables connecting it to the outside world. Instead, there are a series of facilities transmitting voice and data to and from the park using directional microwave antennas. AT&T constructed the Mormon Peak facility in 1982. At the time, it was on lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management. In 1994, Congress transferred roughly 1 million acres of BLM land to Death Valley National Park, which included Mormon Peak. At the same time, Congress designated 93% of the park as wilderness, including Mormon Peak. This created controversy because permanent structures and commercial activities are prohibited in wilderness. Congress resolved this in conflict in 2019 by specifically authorizing operation and maintenance of the Mormon Peak Telecommunications Facility in the John D. Dingell Jr. Conservation Management and Recreation Act. AT&T did not make substantial upgrades to the technology in use on Mormon Peak for many years due to the site's wilderness status. As connectivity increased across the world, the total capacity through Mormon Peak is currently 90 megabytes per second. This is less than the bandwidth available to individual households in many areas, and it is split between landlines and two cell towers being used by 450 residents of Death Valley and thousands of park visitors. During high-use times, it is often not possible to make phone calls, even to request or coordinate emergency medical services. AT&T's proposed upgrades would increase the total bandwidth to 1.5 gigabytes per second and allow the cell towers at Furnace Creek and Stovepipe Wells to be added to the FirstNet system, which gives emergency responders priority use. AT&T requests a right-of-way permit to operate, maintain, and upgrade the existing microwave facility. The existing 35-foot tall lattice tower would remain. The existing equipment shelter would be removed and replaced by a 6-foot by 10-foot equipment shelter adjacent to the tower. Existing solar panels on the tower would be replaced with larger solar panels, a lightning rod would be added, and a directional microwave antenna. AT&T would use helicopters to access the roadless site. Mormon Peak is in the southern Panamint Mountains. The 35-foot lattice tower is not visible to the naked eye from any of the popular viewpoints in the park. Public comments can be made until May 10th online at parkplanning.nps.gov/Mormon Peak or mailed to Death Valley National Park, attention Mormon Peak, P.O. Box 579, Death Valley, California 92328. Commenters should be aware that their entire comment, including personal identifying information, may be made publicly available at any time. While commenters can ask that their personal identifying information be withheld from public review, the National Park Service cannot guarantee that this will be possible. All right, let's just figure that I'm one for keeping wilderness wilderness. I hate to see things built when it was already perfect as it is. That being said, I was just in Death Valley. There are thousands of people down there, plus not to mention the businesses, the people that live there full time. It is ridiculously hot and desolate and dangerous to live there. You have to have communication. So if this microwave tower you can't even see it, well, then who cares? Should there even be a comment about, can you just please give the people their upgrade and call it good? It's not like we're going in and knocking down 30 acres of trees or something to do this and creating a road. You know, they're just flying it in with a helicopter. Of course they need this. The other thing is, can't you petition someone like Elon Musk to hurry up with those gosh darn Skynet? It was Skynet. I probably nailed that. Internet, you know, whatever he calls it, you know, the satellite internet stuff, because then that might actually help improve things too, because that's one thing you do have in Death Valley is access to the sky. So I don't know. That's my opinion about it. But yeah, they need, it's too desolate of a place down there just to say, oh, sorry, we're not going to give you anything. So come on, let's just get this done. So our very own advertiser Shorty Speed Shop went out to the car show this weekend that was held in the Roadhouse parking lot by Starbucks and Hing's Donuts, and wrote us a little article about what he saw there. And I want to thank you, Robbie, for doing that and taking some pictures. If you'd like to see some of these pretty sweet rides, go head over to Eastern Sierra Now and check out the article, but I'll read it for you right now. Cars have always held a special place in America's heart. It's not as strong as it used to be, with today's cars looking pretty much exactly the same, except for my Jeep. My Jeep's awesome. Don't you ever say otherwise, Robbie. And everyone using them for nothing more than simple point A to B transportation. But the love of cars is definitely still alive. This event is normally a much smaller gathering of some of the members of local Owens Valley Cruisers, but this Saturday was special. There was a great showing of today's unique car culture. Everything from the classic 1932 Deuce Ford, 1959 GMC 100 Stepside truck, and a 1969 Camaro to two J100 series Land Cruisers, a brand new Civic Type R, a swath of Subarus, and an all-electric 2022 Mini Cooper rolled into the parking lot near Starbucks and Hing's Donuts. Some people came from as far as Ridgecrest to hang out, look at cars, and drink coffee. The Owens Valley Cruisers were very welcoming, and there were plenty of conversations and reminiscing. No matter what your opinion of cars is, the one thing unique about them is their ability to unify people. It's a truly beautiful thing when everything from the 1930s to 2022, and from American to Japan and UK, can come together and have a great time. I cannot stress how important something like this is in today's hard times and in our small community. It serves as a great reminder that we all have something in common, no matter who we are. A big thank you to the Owens Valley Cruisers for being welcoming, the people all up and down 395 for bringing their cars out, and the people of Bishop for coming out to check them out and share their stories. And that comes from Robbie Harden from Shutter Me Short Photography, as well as Shorty's Speed Shop. So, yeah, some pretty sweet cars here, man. There's some great pictures. There's a sick Camaro. Oh, man, I really want that bad. But I also wish I would have gone. I want to see that electric Mini Cooper. That's kind of interesting. But Robbie's completely right on that. That's one thing we all have in common, cars and a love of them. It's not like it used to be. Like, kind of what he's saying in there is when you go back into the 50s and the 60s, there was this romance with cars. Cars were just better. You know, they looked cool. They did. Everything about them was great. You spent your day dealing with your car. Nowadays, like he said, they all look the same, they all act the same. You don't even care. You know, you have subcultures of cars, like my Jeep reference earlier. You've got the Jeepers out there that you're going to put all your time into your Jeep, just empty every pocket, as they say, and you're going to put all your money into it, and you're going to make it the way you want it to look, and it's kind of part of who you are. But for the most part, cars are cars anymore. It's not about a love affair. It's not a piece of your personality. Your car is just your car. That's kind of sad, really. I mean, that would have been really interesting to have grown up in the 50s and 60s when that was a huge, huge thing, you know, just cruising and that kind of stuff. Anyway, thank you again, Robbie, for that. And speaking of cars, if you are in need of some help, you know, especially in the Toyotas, Hondas, Subarus, you should head down to Shorty's Speed Shop. You know, they are booked solid, but he can fit you in, and that is the place to go for whatever you need. But you want to know something that's really awesome? They do 4x4 stuff, which is what I love because of my Jeep. So if you're looking to get, you know, some lights put, like, for instance, the last thing that we did was put in some pod lights on my Jeep and run some rocker switches. Well, most places aren't going to do that for you. Robbie will. And even more importantly, have you sold a car? Are you selling a car? Do you need to register a car that hasn't been for a while? Guess who does the cheapest smog in town? That's right, Robbie at Shorty's Speed Shop. It's always friendly. He's going to fit you in on that smog no matter what and get you straightened out. So head down to Shorty's Speed Shop. That is definitely where you want to go. What's the phone number there? 760-258-1342. Okay, April 12th, which is tomorrow, there's an INYO Board of Supervisors meeting. So head over to Eastern's here now tonight to get the Zoom link for that and the agenda. And there's a Groundwater Authority meeting coming up on the 14th. That'll be 2 p.m. Same thing. The link is there for the Zoom and agenda. And, oh, here's something cool that's coming up that's different for the area. June 4th through 5th at the Tri-County Fairgrounds, Eastern Sierra Pride is spearheading a first-of-its-kind festival for our area of the same name, Eastern Sierra Pride. The festival will mainly be held at the Tri-County Fairgrounds June 4th and 5th, with other local venues to be determined. This will also double as the launching point for their nonprofit. Tickets are available to the festival. It's easternsierrapride.org/pride2022. The link is also at Eastern Sierra Now, where you can go there. This should be a pretty cool event, and definitely something new for the area. This has not happened around here, and it's about time, and I think it's pretty great to see everybody get the chance to stand together in solidarity as a community and enjoy everybody, no matter how we see it from our own personal perspectives. You know what I mean? We're all different. We're all special in our own way. We're all magical, wonderful beings, and I think that's what this is about, is celebrating that our differences aren't that different after all, and we can all love and respect each other and learn from each other. I think that's what's beautiful about this. So Eastern Sierra now totally supports Eastern Sierra Pride. And what else do we have here? Oh, we got some baseball news. Check that out. You know, I mention every single day, and I mean it every single day. If you represent a sports team, you need to reach out to me, because it's, hey, I'm just saying, you guys are the ones that look bad, not me. So if you'd like to get your information out there and show that, hey, you've got a good team and you guys are doing a good job, you need to reach out and get this out there. I'm totally willing to throw it out there, video, pictures, whatever you want. You want to do interviews, you want me to come out and talk to you at the site, whatever, it's cool. But right now, I've only got two coaches doing it, and they're both from Bishop High School. So, looks like over the weekend, the Bishop Broncos slide into a blowout win over Boron. So the Bishop Broncos had no trouble on offense today, winning big over Boron 14-4. Bishop Broncos opened up scoring in the first inning. Bishop Broncos scored one run when Albert Cano doubled. Jake Frigerio was on the hill for Bishop Broncos. The Fireballers surrendered one run on two hits over three innings, striking out four. Bishop Broncos launched one home run on the day. Caleb Gillum had a homer in the first inning. Bishop Broncos raked up 15 hits. Gillum, Reese Dondero, Kane Omohundro, and Kano all collected multiple hits for Bishop Broncos. Dondero and Gillum all had three hits to lead Bishop Broncos. They stole five bases during the game as two players stole more than one. Frigerio led the way with two. Albert Kano is 2-for-4, two RBIs. Hector Martinez, 1-for-4, one RBI. Riley Yeropkin, 1-through-4, one RBI. Jake Frigerio, 2-for-4. Caleb Gillum, 3-for-4, three RBIs. Kane Omohundro, 2-for-4. AC Valdivia, 1-for-4, one RBI. Reese Dondero, 3-for-3, one RBI. And Kenny Batchelder, 1-for-4. Yeah, Gillum got the homer on that too. Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, pretty sweet. Good game, guys. Well done. I also, unfortunately, just got the email. I don't have any stats on it, but it does look like the Bishop girls lost to Boron. It looks like Bishop was 0 and Boron 5. So it was their first league loss, and that's a bummer. But they did play great defense. It was just a strong hitting Boron team. And that comes from Coach Lisa Manuelito. So good job, girls. Keep trying. You know, it happens. Sometimes people just outhit you. It's the way it goes. If you gave it your best, it's all you can do. So good job, ladies. I would like to thank our patrons, Allison, Sam, Fran, Tiffany, Tomato Head, D, Ida, Deborah, Valerie, and Margaret. Thank you so much for donating to Local News. And just a reminder, if you're interested in donating to Local News and helping us grow this little boat, then head over to patreon.com/EasternSierraNow or go to EasternSierraNow.com where there is a red donate button on the right-hand side for Patreon. So you can get on that. You can just do a one-time donation. If you're a business owner and you like to get on advertising with us, now is the time. We're going to have a pretty big announcement. If it's not this week, it's going to be next week. That's going to completely revolutionize news in our area. So be ready for that. You might want to get in on that. So if you're an advertiser and you're looking at getting your word out there, there's no better place than Eastern Sierra Now. So speaking of that, we're going to call it for the day and we will be back tomorrow. Oh, speaking of which, I guess I should mention this too. We are not live streaming the VFW event tonight. The event's at 6:00 and it's for supervisors, the first district supervisors. We still never got our streaming issues fixed from the last time. There's a couple more pieces of equipment I need to buy. So we're going to film it and then immediately post it afterwards. So if you can't make the event tonight, don't worry. Eastern Sierra Now is going to post it on our YouTube page, on our Facebook page, and on our website. So the best thing that you can do is subscribe to those so you won't miss it. So on the EasternSierraNow.com, on the right-hand side, there is an email list. It says ask for your email. Put your email, hit subscribe. That will get you every single time I post something, you're going to find out about it, including the video for tonight. YouTube, it's Eastern Sierra Now. And when you get there, subscribe, like, and hit the bell icon. A lot of people don't know what the bell icon does. That makes it so that every single time something uploads, they tell you. Subscribing just links you to it. But the bell actually informs you. Hey, this person posted something. So that's what you're going to want to hit if you want to see all of the latest content from Eastern Sierra Now, such as the supervisors meeting tonight. And then Facebook, you know how to work Facebook. You just hit like and it's going to be there. So it will not be live streamed, but probably I would say within 2 hours of it ending tonight, I will get that posted for you to check out. So thank you for listening. And again, we're going to call that and we'll talk to you later. Don't blow away.